Hey everybody, it's Tuesday, and as promised, we are in James chapter 4. There's three different sets of verses I want to go over with what you'll be reading today with you, kind of three different topics that all kind of tie together. Verse 3 and following, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So what this part is talking about is some of the things that we desire can easily become worldly things. So the question that James poses here is, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? You see, God's standards and God's desires for our lives are very different than the world's standards. And he even goes to the point of saying, when you ask for stuff, you don't get it because your motives aren't right. There are a lot of people out there who feel that God doesn't hear their prayers. And one of the things, not the only thing, but one of the things that people say is, when I ask for stuff, God never gives it to me. And sometimes I think we need to look and we need to ask ourselves, why do I want that? Now, obviously, if we're praying for healing for somebody or something like that, it's obvious that our motives are for them to be healed. But I think sometimes we tend to ask for things and we don't fully stop and think about it. Maybe we're praying for this new job, but I think we need to ask ourselves, what are my motives? What are my motives for the new job? Is it just to get more money? Is my motive because I have this pattern of discontentment and I jump from one thing to another and I'm struggling with contentment? Do you ever ask yourself when you pray for things, who is this going to glorify? Or maybe you need to ask, who might this not help if God gives me what I'm asking for? You know, I think a question that oftentimes people don't think about when they're asking God for things is, if God gives this to me or if I get this, could it eventually lead to sin? Could it eventually lead to God moving down on our list of priorities? The next part that I want to read to you is verse 7. And to verse 10, it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Well, a couple things to think about with this today. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You know, there's two things that pop into my mind when it comes to this word, flee. And a couple things that I know that the word tells us is, one is right here in James, where it says, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. He'll run away. The other example I can think of is the passage that says, flee from sexual immorality. So one is us fleeing. We're running away from sexual immorality. And in this passage in James, it's saying that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. He'll run away from us. So let me ask you this. To what lengths do you go, or are you willing to go, to resist the devil, to resist temptation? Do you set boundaries in those areas of your life that you stumble in? Are there things that you put in place that help you to resist the devil? You know, we can't play on the devil's playground and expect not to get hurt. Are there people in your life that ask you hard questions to help you resist the devil? Have you given people permission to speak truth into your life? You know, accountability that's not asked for is not ever going to work. And then in verse 13 to 15, it says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into that or this city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why do you not even know? Why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Now, I don't think that this passage is telling us never make plans for the future. But I think the key to this is in the last part that says you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will do this and do that. So the last question I want to ask you is, how often does God's will come into your prayers? We're taught by a lot of teaching out there that it's all about what we want. But God's will, does it trump all in your life? Because it's supposed to, if it's the Lord's will. How often do you pray for God's will in your life? I can assure you of this, God's will is always going to be better than your will. It's always going to be better for you, and it's always going to turn out better for you. So three things to think about to summarize our motives when we pray. Resisting the devil and the steps that we take in those areas of our life that we easily fall into sin. What boundaries, what guardrails have we set up? And then lastly, how much do we seek God's will in what we do? Some things to think about. I'll be with you tomorrow to wrap up the book of James.